Hey yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. I'm the Crown Prince of Charisma, Mo, and this over here is the King of the Casters. He's the Chief Defender of the Faith. He is Mr. Brett Podcast, but you're not here for us, because honestly, we're not that exciting. But the guy we're talking to is, his name, Ton Nauman. Did I get it right? Not bad.
Correct.
Now, I was born in Denmark, so maybe that's why I got a little bit of that there.
Yeah, you've got a slight Danish accent, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I moved to Canada when we were three, but maybe I can still... Yeah. I'm Mortens does have a Christiansen, so we got a little bit there that's... I understand you recorded this latest album in Denmark. Is that correct?
We recorded the drums there, and we mixed the album there.
You mixed the album there. So the big question there is, since I was born there, is do I then get some sort of producer credit?
Okay, where were you born?
Exactly. Denmark.
You're where in Denmark? Copenhagen?
No, actually, in just north of Aalborg.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. In northern Jutland. Pardon me?
Why did you move to America then?
You know, I was just a little kid. We moved. I blame my dad. He moved here because we didn't know how cold it would be in Canada. Okay. When we moved to Canada.
Okay. Canada right now.
Yeah, Canada. We're in Calgary, Canada. And I actually understand Vancouver's your favorite city, is that right?
Yes, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But also like Toronto and Montreal. Although Montreal speaks French, but it's a nice city, and I got a very good friend of mine who lives there, and I'm doing music with him, and it's great. Every time we do a North America tour and I have some free time, I'm going to visit him in Montreal, then we hang out. And it's a nice place, and I really love to be in Vancouver when we play there. I take the afternoon and I have a walk on the beach, and it's really in the harbor, and so it's really nice, and I really enjoy it over there.
Well, I can only assume this means you've never been to Calgary.
Yes, I've never been to Edmonton and Calgary.
Wow.
And Winnipeg.
Well, okay.
To be honest, only for like, I did Quebec, Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver.
Well, you got to come here then. You got to figure out a way to get into Alberta with this new tour, if you can.
Yeah, you don't have to worry. Don't worry about Edmonton or Winnipeg. We don't.
but certainly come to Calgary.
Selfishly.
Are they the ice hockey team or what?
The Calgary Flames. Oh, they're. We have high hopes for them this coming season.
They're a team. Yep.
They're a team. Pardon me?
How about the Oilers? Edmonton Oilers?
Oh, the Edmonton Oilers. Well, they're the other. You know, they're the team that we don't care who we beat as long as we beat Edmonton.
Oh, really? Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how it works.
We don't like each other very much, I guess.
It's one of those friendly rivalries, you know.
Yes. I know that. I got this in soccer with I'm a Schalke supporter, and there is the city next to us is Borussia Dortmund, and so we don't like them. But I have a lot of friends who are Dortmund supporters, so we hang out and have a couple of beers. And every time when there's a derby and we play against each other, there's like rivalry and a friendly positive hate for 90 minutes.
Yep, that's generally the way it works.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Dortmund's a good team, I hate to say.
It's just a game, you know.
Well, we should talk though what we're here. Primal Fear's latest album, Apocalypse. I think this is the best reviewed album in the world so far this year. The response from critics, the advanced copies, we've listened to it. Great, great album.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. I really appreciate it. So it's a lot of time and effort and blood, sweat and everything in it. And yeah, it's great to get such a nice and positive feedback from the fans and from the reviewers.
Being, you know, 20 years in the band, on and off, I guess, but, you know, man, yeah. 30 years playing in the business, do you guys still, worry about what the reviewers are going to say? Or maybe only when you're getting great reviews like this?
I know, like, when we released our first lyrics video, and everybody starts to say, it's not Primal Fear anymore because the chorus sounds like Korn or Five Finger Death Punch. We're going like, what? First of all, I do not think that it sounds like horn or fife, you know, that much. But it's always like, it's always very difficult because we released our 12th album right now. And if you make one album sounding like the other and then you do it like 12 times, then it gets boring. So we try to improve ourselves in songwriting, in arrangement stuff, or in finding new sounds and just try to improve ourselves. Sometimes we go a little bit a different way just to get out of the pure heavy metal stuff, just to find some new ways and so. And sometimes people really like it and some people don't, but if you make an album, there are people who will love it anyway, and there are people who will never love us anyway. So I don't give a about
criticism. You can say whatever you want. You can say shit.
Well, I would never say that because I'm a proper person.
Oh, well, we're not.
Yeah, that's right. We understand. You know, nobody in a heavy metal band or anything like that has ever sworn. It's understandable.
Yeah, but to be honest, we love what we do because, like, Primal Fear exists for 20 years right now, and we really like going on stage and recording songs and writing songs and being on the road and having fun and doing what we love most, like hanging out together, having a couple of beers, enter the stage. And for me, it's always my aim when I'm on stage is like to play in front of like, doesn't matter, 200, 2,000 people. And I play there, and with my playing and the kind of music we are doing, people will forget their private problems for 90 minutes or 2 hours. And the show is over and they go home with a smiling face. I did the best job I could do as an artist.
Yeah, that I mean, and that's really all that matters. I mean, sometimes it's really easy to get bogged down by forgetting that music is to be for fun. And, you know, but at the same time, I think that's something I appreciate about the Apocalypse album is that I know that the, you know, a lot of the lyrical content is very serious, but I mean, it still helps to, you know, you can still enjoy that serious and it gives you some pause, but you can still rock out.
Yeah, sure, but no. We did an interview on the Hellfest festival in France 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and we got asked the same question, and Matt just answered, you know, I don't think it's the right time for writing 11 songs with love lyrics in it, because the world has changed so much, so we have to take care of our world. And that's why we write some very critical stuff and not so many love songs and My Heart Is Broken lyrics.
Well, I bet your album has a song, King of Madness, which you have the video for, captures very much, I think, the band's power. The video does. It's probably my favorite track on the album. I don't know if you're writing it, though, about Putin or about Trump. I assume it's one or the other.
Yeah, you know, I don't say it's just a special person. There are a lot of guys in the politics that are doing the wrong stuff. And doesn't matter if it's Trump, Putin, or any other guy, but it's just to has his point and in his politics way. And I don't know how about Trump. Like, it's like the guy, sometimes he's totally crazy. Sometimes he's doing the right stuff, and sometimes he goes like, oh, he's a total narcissist. He's just doing things that he would do. I never heard a president who goes on Twitter and says, I'm fucked Putin or whatever. He wrote on Twitter. For me, this is totally crazy. Yeah. Like, he should more act like a real president and not like, oh, I'm just a president. It's fun for me.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
I think that's what you have to do. You have to laugh half the time.
Yeah, when you start, he will build a wall between USA and Mexico. Like, how will this work? And how does a grown man come up with such an idea? And then he goes like, okay, I built the wall, but the Mexican has to pay it. What's that for? Idea?
You must know about the having a wall, you know, what it does to a country, right?
Oh, yeah, but, you know, like, I was born in 1960, when the wall already existed. But I was there when the wall came down, and it was, like, really for... Because we in West Germany, we got a good life anyway. You know? Mm-hmm. We could live without East Germany or with them. So So, but East Germany, they got really a tough life before the wall came down. You know, hardly anything to eat, and they were really treated like we got treated in socialism and all the stuff. It was really bad. And we played there just before the wall went down, and it was really sad to see how the people have to live there. No poverty, and just small cars, and they have to wait for years to get a car that we normally would not even drive in West Germany.
Now, how do you guys go about writing songs? Does everybody bring their own ideas, or is everything very collaborative as a group, or how do you do it?
It depends. You know, sometimes you just sit down and start writing, and you play a little bit on your guitar, and it's like, oh, that's a nice riff, and then you start writing it. And sometimes when you have the flow, a song is written in half an hour, and then you just got it, and we got our Dropbox, and then you put, hey, I got a song, and I recorded it at home, then I put it in the Dropbox. Sometimes I just have an idea of a riff, and then I go like, I can't go any further, there's no flow, so I just put the riff into the Dropbox and go like, guys, I got the riff and I really love it, so can please somebody help me out? And so it's like, and Ralph got some vocal ideas, and Matt and Magnus is writing a lot of songs together, and Magnus writes a lot of songs by his own and all that stuff, but it's a really cooperative band where everybody can have an input on songs and can write songs and can get ideas and work something out together. So it's not like that only one or two guys are writing the whole songs.
I'd love to see that Dropbox. I'll tell you that right now.
There's a lot of people I can tell you. Now, I'm really glad that when the album, when the mixing is done, that everything got erased.
That's too bad. That would be interesting. Yeah, it's a. Do you guys you know, how much is the talking then when you're working on it? How much of it is it? I guess you guys, I mean, obviously you get along, you know, and you've been together for a long time. But yeah, I mean, is it always kind of anybody always going, no, this is the right way to do it? How is your studio? How do you guys interact?
You know, we're all like some kind of Indians who work together, but you have to like the main Indian who says, this is the way we go. And the man is the guy who has the final word when it comes to writing songs or producing. And so we have all our input, but if Matt likes it, he accepts it. If he says, maybe we should do it this kind of way or that kind of way, so we try it out, and probably it's the best way to do it like that. But it's not like we are envy of one another because there's just one more song of this guy on the album than from the other guy. So it's just like a healthy way to work together without being envy or jealous.
Oh, that must be weird for you. You're jealous of me, right, Brett?
Totally. I was interested in how the guitars work. I mean, with three guitarists on the album, it's like, how do you kind of break down who's going to do which role?
Most guitar parts, when it comes to rhythm part, most of the parts were done by Magnus. And then Alex played some stuff and I played some stuff. And then when it comes to the lead parts, we just split it, we divide it by three, and we're like, oh, you play this, would you like to play this, would you like to play that, or you play this, you play that. So, and it's fine for me, you know, like, I got my job to do, and I wrote my songs, and I, even if I write a song and Magnus plays rhythm guitar in it, I don't really care, because we all three really good guitar players, and it helps me a lot not doing it, because then I have time for something else.
So was there anything different about doing this album about the recording than your last one?
No, not really. It's like we are doing this kind of work since the last four or five albums, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's like we write songs and we produce them at home, and then when we have the final versions, we start to record the drums in the studio, and then we put in our bass, guitars, keyboards, vocal, blah blah blah, and then we do the mixing, and then we have a final album. That's the way we used to work. and we start working. The album will be released, and I already write some new stuff for the next one. So just to be busy and collect all the ideas you got.
Yeah, because you go. Sorry.
And when I got my ideas finished, so I will go to Madrid. It's just like living like 6 or 8 miles away from my hometown. So we meet up and we have a coffee. And I said, "Hey, there's an idea. Listen to this. This is an idea." And he was like, "Oh, that's interesting. Oh, that sounds like shit. Oh, I don't want this, but I love this. I love this. Let's work on this. Let's work on this." And so we have like 15 ideas and 7 or 8 to work on.
Nice. Yeah, I'm interested because you guys, I mean, you seem to have a relatively consistent recording schedule. I mean, every couple of years there's a new album. So, I mean, how do the albums do, especially over there in Germany and stuff like that? I mean, I think that, like, from our understanding is the environment is so much better for hard rock heavy metal acts.
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right because there are a lot of good and huge metal festivals all around Europe. We got Wacken. I think Wacken will be next week. There's 100,000 people. We got Hellfest. Hellfest is a festival in France for 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I guess, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every day you got 60,000 people. Then we got a Rockfest in Barcelona, like a 3 days festival with headlining Aussie, Kiss, and I don't know, Judas Priest was headlining. And a lot of bands like Halloween play there, Sabaton, and it's like really the cream of the crop of the metal scene in the whole world playing on festivals like these, and it's really amazing. And we all also played a lot of huge festivals this year, and there are some more coming up, and our albums are selling well, or sold well so far. The last two albums were top 20 in the German charts. And we also got in the charts in Switzerland, Austria, Finland, Sweden. So we're doing pretty good over there in Europe. But it's much easier to be present in Europe because you do a tour and the next year you do a festival tour and you play Spain, you play France, you play Sweden or whatever. And the next day you record a new album. So you have all the like album, festival, tour. And it's pretty tough for us to go to America because normally, you should go to America and be there for a month. You know, you can start in Green Bay, and then you can go down south to Houston, and you can go back and start over all over again just to get in the minds and in the hearts of the fans. But for us, it's not possible. So we only do like 30 shows, and then we go back to Germany, and then we have to wait for 2 or 2.5 years to go back to America to do it all over again. And 2 or 2.5 years in rock business can be a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you guys are one of the rare bands almost, it seems, that has had the ability to come to the U.S. and to Canada and actually do, you know, somewhat regular tours for each of your albums. So, that is pretty impressive, I'd say.
Yeah, I would really love to get on a tour as maybe as a support act or a special guest where we have a good band with us, like Iced Earth or Accept, so it will be crowded, like 1,000 people, 2,000 people, so that would be much more interesting for us than playing in front of 300 or 400 people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But every time we go back to the States and we play just always it's the same amount of people. You know, there's no improvement or the number does not increase. So it's always the same level, and we would like to make the next step to bring it a little bit further in America.
Yeah, it seems like the Germany and the European countries that metal music is still more, I don't know, it's more accepted than the mainstream radio is pretty much completely given up on it in North America. So it becomes difficult to kind of make inroads in the market.
But I thought that you guys in America have like rock radio shows and all that stuff. We don't hardly have that anymore. Even when we watch MTV or the German part of MTV called Viva, there is no hard rock anymore in it. Or if I listen to the radio, there's hardly any radio station who brings some rock songs. We got one station who brings rock and metal songs from 7 to 9 on Sunday evening. And
then that's it?
The rest is, and the rest is like pop music and hip hop and rap and all that stuff. So you hardly have a possibility to bring your music across to people because You will not be played on radio. You will not be played on TV. So you have to find your way through festivals and touring and all that stuff.
Yeah, it would be awesome if there was like more festivals, I think, in North America that were similar to Wacken and Hellfest and some stuff like that, where all the big bands came out and you had like 3 days of just solid metal. That,
you know, this guy from Braveheart, Mark Groman. This guy is from a Canadian guy.
No.
How is it called? Brave Words and Bloody Knuckles.
Oh, yes, I know that now. Yeah.
Mark, I'm called Mark, and every time we play Bang Your Head Festival, Bakkenever, he's always there. He's coming from Canada just to watch all the bands or all the festivals in Europe. He's amazing. Every time I play there, he's walking around somewhere. He's really a crazy guy.
Yeah, and there's some guys, and I mean, obviously, we'd love to get there to that point where it's just like, yes, this is what you're doing. You're able to go out there and experience this and kind of be around and just be a part of the community in that regard. Because I mean, we're the metal nerds, right? We're the fans, and we're also like hoping to kind of promote the music to everyone, to get more people involved than just the core audience.
Have you ever been to the 70,000 tons of metal on the boat and the ship, the cruise?
Oh, that's one of the, that's probably the next or the first one that we get to do next, I think, is we're really anxious for that.
I was there though for the second time this year, and it's just fucking amazing. It's so much fun. You meet all the bands, like the 760 bands on the ship, and you can watch them play live. It starts at 10 o'clock and it ends at 3 o'clock at night, and you can get heavy metal, every kind of metal stuff, 24/7. It's like really amazing stuff. And you meet fans and you hang out with your... Because I got also idols. Like I love the guitar player of Arch Enemy, Michael Emmert. And I saw Michael Schenker playing. And then suddenly you just stand next to him and say, hey, Michael, how are you doing? He goes like, oh, I'm fine, thank you. And you start the conversation with one of your idols. It's amazing shit.
Well, because, you know, and that's it. I mean, that's something that from doing the interviews, we really discover. I mean, we're all like human beings. I mean, we all have the same interests. I mean, it's so easy to just sit down and talk and have a good conversation. And just, I mean, this is, it's fun, right? I mean,
that's what it's all about. You know, like, we all need the clowns to make us smile, you know, like, and sometimes we are the clowns to make you smile when you listen to our albums and the music we are creating. And we love to be the clown sometimes, because I'm really happy if I can bring joy to fans or to other people.
You know, one of the things that I think is a reason I'd like to go there, to see some people's guitars up close, you know, the different designs and the different things. Do you ever look at some of these guitars and these people that you're with on a cruise like that and think, oh, that's cool, where did you get that? Do you talk about the instruments much?
No, not really, because if you can see, I got a lot of guitars in my bag over
there. Oh, yeah. That's kind of, I am being, that was my subtle way of trying to get you to show them to us, yes.
I got two cameras right in front of me right now, and I'm just asking, what kind of amps are you playing? And some guy goes like, oh, I play Mesa Boogie, I play Engel, I play Kemper, I play Marshall. And then you talk about certain stuff once in a while, but normally when you hang out with musicians, you hardly talk about your business. You talk about football or holidays or family issues or whatever. So we don't go like, hey, what are you playing? And blah, blah, blah. How did you play this? How did you play that? And how did you record it? We go like, how are you doing? And how's the family? How's the wife doing? How's the kids? And then we go like with the, my kid over here, let's see them. I'm going to buy you the next drink and so forth. Yeah, that's what we do when we hang out together. It's like when you guys, if you go out on a Friday night, you don't want to talk about your business all night long.
Oh, God, we never talk about, you know, ever. We almost, you know, maybe we bitch a little bit for 20 minutes and then we go and we start talking football or, you know, and these different things. Yeah, or music, right? Like that's it. That's what you want to talk about. Yeah, speaking of, I have to ask, you know, how is the psyche of Germany now after the World Cup, now that we're a little ways away after the disappointment?
What kind of sport words are you talking about right now?
You don't remember what happened in Germany in the first round.
Totally forgot it.
I was on holiday. I can't remember it. I think it was fine that we won the world title 4 years ago. And then I think that some of the guys who won the title, they were already full with success, and they really didn't give 100%. And we got some new players, and they were not really good. And also the coach made some tactical mistakes, I guess. And so it was, for us, I think, in the beginning, it was a shame to get out as the world champion. But now I think maybe it was good to get out, because now we have time for a restart to build up something new. And we got a lot of good young players. And I think we will be back very strong when everything will be done and mixed and so far.
I'm sure Germany will be back.
Spain went home way too early. Brazil, Argentina, there were a lot of teams went home way too early this time.
Yeah, I thought Denmark went to home way too early, but that's me.
Denmark did. Yeah, they played. They lost against Croatia.
No. Yeah, in the shootout.
In the shootout,
Yeah, killed me.
It was like, wait a minute, your keeper. Michael was saving a penalty in extra time?
In extra time. When he made that stop, we thought we had it. Yeah.
But I think it was a nice final. Croatia in the final was nice.
It was nice. Very good game.
And I think Belgium also played very well, so it was really good. England played well, so it was okay. We didn't play well, and it was... Yeah, we played slow, and it was hard to watch for us.
I bet, yeah.
Well, now I'll ask you one last question. Does everybody in the band focus on the football in this case?
Yeah, sure. We played a show at the Hellfest, so, and we arrived on Saturday at 6 o'clock at the hotel, and the game started at 8 o'clock. So we all hang out in front of the TV at the lobby bar. And we were screaming our asses off, like when you scored the goal in extra time. We were like, and we were like screaming, and beers were spilling all over the place.
In the game against Sweden, you mean?
Yes,
that was quite a game. Yeah.
That was a fantastic goal.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Yeah. But we also got really devastated when we watched the match against South Korea.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a... So, but strange things can occur in soccer and in rock and roll.
I have two more questions. Do you have time for two more, or I don't know. I guess we're up against our time. Or
that's fine with me. The other guy can wait.
Well, I want to know the power metal in Germany. There's so many great bands that have come from there over the years. And I'm just wondering what it is about the culture that has made some of the greatest power metal bands of all time come out of Germany.
To be honest, I really can't answer that question. I just know that we have a lot of good power metal bands. Halloween, Gamma Ray, we got Power Wolf, we got Running Wild, we got Prime of Fear, we got Accept, we got really Blind Guardian. I'm sorry if I forgot some other great bands, but we got really a lot of really good metal bands, and we got a really good metal scene. Oh, I forgot Doro and Gravedigger.
Oh, yeah.
And, but I don't know what it is. Maybe it's in the water or in food, I don't know. But we started doing it, and we started loving it, and maybe it's just like, goes on and on. It's like a heritage. Someone started it, maybe the Scorpion started it, and then we got the Accept guys, and then we got all the other bands following.
That's right, Bonfire, another act that's been around for a long time.
Yeah, Bonfire as well, yeah. But there's so many really good bands, and sometimes are not really well-known bands. They are doing great, great songs and great albums and great riffing, and I don't know from where it comes from. Like, they're just something special. And when in Prime of Fear, we got really like rock songs with a groove in it, and we called it just like, it sounds like a German tank as well, rock, 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 rock. And the fun part is, only a German drummer can play it, the groove, to this song. And if you take another drummer, outside of Germany, okay, with the exception of Randy Black, it's really like, why can this guy cannot play this kind of groove? And then you take a German drummer, he can play the groove. And it's always like, this is really strange. And it's also, if I listen to other kind of music, there's hardly any band from America or from Great Britain or so creating riffs and songs like the German bands are doing. There's something special about all this riffing stuff, but I can tell you what it is exactly.
Well, keep doing it. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
The only thing I can do.
Yeah, my other question is that, you know, looking into you a little bit, is that you list a couple of bands I think would surprise people as your favorite. One was Journey, and more so Night Ranger.
Night Ranger, yes.
I think that would surprise a lot of people, but I think a lot of people have an idea of what Night Ranger is and kind of have a very limited scope on what it is. What do you like, what is it about Night Ranger you appreciate?
When I was young, I grew up with a new wave of British heavy metal. I was 15 when all the great albums came out, like British Steel. Then we got Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Motorhead, Def Leppard, all the bands, Saxon. They released two albums a year. Like Judas Priest did three albums in 3 years or four albums in 3 years. We got Saxon did three albums in 2 years and stuff like that. And you got a lot of metal stuff, and then all of a sudden there was Motley Crue and all the other bands coming up. And then I heard that song on a radio one day called Don't Tell Me You Love Me, and I really got into this guitar solo, which is and it was some guy doing this whammy bar trick, and that's why I really got caught by Night Ranger, and I got nearly every album till the Big Live album, and I really love their songs. It's great AOR music in my kind of view, and a lot of really good guitar players, and really got me hooked on this band.
So is there
I also like band Giant, for example.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And Harvey's a great guitar player.
Mm-hmm. Great band.
All that Steve Lukather stuff and so on. I'm a more like an adult-oriented music guy. I love melody. Okay, I love hard rock stuff, and I love metal stuff. And I really love Painkiller, for example, blah, blah. But I also like songs with melody. That's probably why I don't like the music nowadays. We got all this screamo core and all the bands, and like I'm a guitar teacher, and sometimes I have to do power grade drive, and I say, hey, this is great music. You can also play, but when you start to sing, it goes like. But then they released a new album, and he starts to sing, and it was like, oh, I think I'm going to love the new album. And all their friends were like, this is fucking shit. And it's like, see, the melody finally. I found the melody. And I'm more the melody guy, you know, like I could not play in a band if Primal Fear would only have screaming songs and all that shit. But I guess that we have a lot of melody and we are still heavy on our side. Still doing heavy metal with a lot of melodies. That's what I really like.
Yeah, and this album really, you know, like I say, sums it up. Apocalypse is I don't know. Where do you think it ranks with the best work of Primal Fear? It's got to be right up there.
I think so. For me personally, my favorite album is Seven Seals, because this album was a change in the writing process and the recording process. I think it was for the first time that we recorded two songs with a length of 8 minutes. And we got a really nice ballad with Seven Seals, and we got In Memory of You with another ballad, and we got a lot of rock songs in it. And so for me, it was like, oh, it's time to do something different. And for me, it was the Seven Seals album. And the albums that came after that were also pretty good, like Rule Breaker, The Living the Black, and all this stuff. And I think, or I hope, that we will make the top 10 this time in the German charts. That would be awesome. Yeah. And maybe it would help us to get some more people in our shows.
Well, we would love that for you to be able to hit that and get all the people, because Apocalypse is such a great album. I mean, you've got Eye of the Storm, which is a great song. That's another 8-minute one. Love the album overall. Like, just amazing stuff. And we wish nothing but the best for Primal Fear, you and the album. We hope that it just explodes.
August 10th is when it's
August
out,
10th,
right?
That's right.
August 10th. People should go get it. Damn right.
Yeah, buy it. Buy it several times.
Yeah.
Make me rich.
if they don't buy it less than 10 times, they're assholes.
That's it.
Thank you for your nice comments. I really appreciate that you like our new album.
No, it's terrific. Awesome. Terrific.
Oh yeah, well yeah, big fans. So so thank you so much for your time, Tom Naumann. We truly appreciate
Naumann.
It. Naumann.
There's a
But yeah.
So yeah, that's it. And anything else you'd like to tell the listeners besides buy the new album August 10th, Apocalypse from Primal Fear? Anything else you want to let them know about what's coming up or where they should go? And it's time for a little segment we call Plug Your Shit. Go ahead and plug your shit.
Okay. Be excellent to each other, party on, and celebrate life.
Well, that is a great way to end. So we appreciate it, and we hope to see you on tour in Canada.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I love Canada. I would love to be there.
Yeah, well, and I can only tell you, Calgary, so much nicer than Vancouver.
Well, the lack of an ocean does make a difference.
Yeah, there's no ocean, but there's beautiful mountains.
But it's not about the ocean, it's about the bars and pubs and girls.
Oh, the girls, okay. I tell you what, we probably can't match the girls in Vancouver. Vancouver, beautiful women.
The favorite beer in Canada, what's that?
Molson Canadian, I think, is the most popular. It's not the best. The local brewery we have here in Calgary is Big Rock. They do a good one. Moosehead is one of my favorite Canadian beers.
That's an Atlantic beer, yeah.
Yeah, Moosehead is a good one. Yeah.
There's a lot of microbreweries and stuff in Canada, so you get a wide range of beer here.
But yeah, you come to Calgary, we will take you on the tour of the Big Rock Brewery.
Sorry?
If you come to Calgary, we'll take you on tour to the Big Rock Brewery.
Okay, you can do that.
Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks for the extra time, too.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day. See you soon.
All right.
I hope so.
Bye, Tom.
Bye.